Hello and welcome to Uplift Catalyst. I am your coach, Katleho, serial entrepreneur, info seeker, and mom to a nearly 8-year-old boy. And Uplift Catalyst is about thinking big, being different, exploring ideas that elevate and expand African women, especially through social entrepreneurship. Because we can pick up our power and use our voices and add to the world's abundance only because it's fun to do so. Let's begin. Hello, well, yes, lockdown continues. We're in day 23 in South Africa. I'm in Johannesburg and looking out the window. It is a beautiful blue sky day, autumn day, plenty of big white clouds, my favorite kind of day. Nice and warm, yet nice and cool, edging into winter. So what are we talking about today, listeners? We are talking about collaboration, generosity, and gardening of all things. So a lot of you right now, during this new world, new earth reality, are going to find yourself trying to pivot or rework or rethink your businesses or start over. You know, I think for many of you, the prospect is, even if you don't do it immediately, chances are, you know, it is a really great time, wanted or unwanted, to start over. The few of you who are lucky enough and have a digital component to your business already might be pivoting, or who have the capital for the equipment might be able to go online if you weren't already doing so. So collaboration for me is about the idea of not doing any of those plan B's or plan Z's, whatever plan you're on by now. It's not about doing it alone, right? We've talked about Ubuntu a few times, Ubuntu, on this podcast, as an African perspective that grounds us and helps us find perspective and clarity and move forward from a grounded place. And in this case, I see collaboration as very much a key part of that Ubuntu. You move forward not alone, but with others, right? Not for your own sake, but for their sake as well. So what do I mean by that? When I say collaborate, I really mean that it may not be a good time to do business right now, anywhere in the world, right? You know, sometimes there was a point in before COVID hit when South Africa's economy was really very stagnant and Nigeria's economy was flourishing, right? And you could, you know, if you were a digital entrepreneur, a knowledge entrepreneur like myself, you could, you know, focus your target market in Nigeria and find professionals who wanted your services in Nigeria, even though you were sitting in South Africa. Right now, that's not a huge window of opportunity because most of the world's markets are struggling right now. So collaboration is not about doing business at this juncture. Collaboration right now in 2020 is about getting out of your own head, getting out of your own funk, getting out of your own way by helping others, by being useful, thoughtful, by challenging yourself to let go of your own problems and see what else is needed out there that you could support. I mean, I've seen so many awesome stories of people coming together, families, friends coming together to pack food parcels for people all over rural South Africa, township South Africa, village South Africa. And I think that's probably happening throughout the world, where marginalized people need to just eat, right? And people are making that happen. And there's a level of where that's really great, and there's a level where we can copy that and say, okay, how do I do that with my knowledge and my services digitally online, right? That's the kind of collaboration I'm talking about. So here's my challenge to you, and I posted that yesterday on LinkedIn to say, I want you to write a list of 10 people right now. Previous clients, current clients, old clients, not friends and family, potential clients, people you were planning to cold call one day. This is the day, honey. Put those names down, 10 names, and let me know how many you come up with, right? And you're going to call or email or message all 10 people, and you're going to reach out and say, hey, how are you doing? I'm thinking about you. I had you on my mind. And this is a really fascinating time that we find ourselves in. And it occurred to me that greater together means I could be of possible assistance to people that I know. I am offering pro bono any support that can be useful to you from my current services that I can do online. Completely free to you. Basically, I'm coming to you as a volunteer. If you have any challenges, problems, let me know, let me understand them, and then maybe I can figure out together with you how I can step in and help you and your business survive this period, because we are greater together. Yeah? You say that. Now, I want you, once you've done the list of 10 people, I've done this too, by the way, I'm not asking you to do things I wouldn't do for my business. And I want you to think about what's going to stop you writing down the list and picking up the phone or typing up the email, you know, and sending it out. What's going to get in your way? What's that inner critic saying right now as you think about the idea of actually putting yourself out there and being vulnerable and being open and lending a helping hand? The fear of rejection, the fear that people say, nah, I don't need you. Nah, I'm not into, we can't do business right now. People will see through you and say, oh, she thinks she's clever. Well, they will see through you if you do this without authenticity. If you genuinely think this is going to bring you business, this is not about that. This is not a time for old school. This is a whole new world, a whole new experience. This is about connecting because you care. So rewrite that list if you got to put people on there that you actually genuinely want to interact with and actually care about, right? Not people that you think have reserves or the money, or maybe somewhere down the line they'll want to pay you to do whatever you're offering. This has got to be, you know, I'm willing to do this for the next 2 weeks, for the next month, for the next year, whatever it is that you're comfortable doing pro bono, to really deeply connect during this time, where 20 years from now, 30 years from now, we'll be in our, no, not 30 years, 100 years from now, we'll be in our rocking chairs saying, hey, what were you doing when COVID first hit? And the people around you, you know, on your porch in their rocking chairs, are going to be laughing and talking about how you bonded and became friends and pulled each other up and forward and fell forward together for the first time in your lives. And potentially from those one or two people who will take you up, or even five or six who will never forget that you offered a helping hand, potentially, you look back and you'll say, and my goodness, we had fun. And isn't it strange that such and such came from that? Isn't it weird how things worked out? Okay, but you can't have a financial end in mind. This is the tricky part for any one of you who's been in business previously, particularly not with a social entrepreneurship mindset. It's going to be tricky to say to yourself, begin with the end in mind, and yet the end in mind is not the almighty dollar, right? The end in mind is not the rand, the pesos, you know, the pula, whatever denomination. The end in mind is your sanity, your resilience, your sense of I can do anything, which is priceless, your sense of leading this situation rather than being overwhelmed by it, and the potential of emerging as an entrepreneurial leader. That's the end to have in mind. Now, generosity is obviously a part of our African heritage. And, you know, one of my favorite words in isiZulu is ububele. Ububele is metaphorically, because it's one of those words that's easy to lose in translation, it's giving from your bosom, right? Amabele is your breast. So nurturing, giving, sharing from your heart, that is generosity, right? So when you go out there to collaborate at this time, as a virtual consultant, as a virtual coach, as a virtual entrepreneur of some kind, as you try to pivot your offerings and your services towards social entrepreneurship, but also towards an online offering that you can continue post-COVID and post-lockdown life, you want to be generous. Now, collaboration and generosity have been written about, and there are, you know, peer-reviewed studies from Harvard, from all the Ivy Leagues in America that are saying these are the characteristics of the leaders that millennials want, in fact, that we all want going forward, right? But my soapbox, my big message is, hey, these are the characteristics that we as Africans have always seen as critical for leaders, and not just leaders, but critical for all of us, our children, our teenagers, to grow up embodying, right? So generosity, ububele, which, isn't it a beautiful word that just encapsulates what generosity really is about? It is fundamentally about putting yourself first while holding hands with others and putting them first. It's friendship, and it requires courage. And I love the word courage also, because it comes from, the root of the word comes from heart, right? So can you see the full circle connection to the Zulu word for the same thing? to give with heart, to give from your heart, wholehearted sharing and uplifting of each other is what is called for at this time. And it starts with yourself. You know, you've got to fill your cup up and have some to spare because you're going to need that to run on when you start holding hands with others, you know. And it can't be about perfection, and it can't be about you reaching out because you think you're the best. It's about reaching out because that is your best. Taking others along with you on the journey is you being your best. That's what generosity is about at this time for me, particularly through servant leadership and the understanding that we are greater together. And you know, it's not just a banded about phrase to get us all to social isolate at home. It really is a way of life and of leading and of doing business. A few years ago, I would say about 2 years ago, I lost so many of my digital devices, my laptop, my beloved laptop, my phone, brand new, you know, which I did a lot of work on, you know, if I was in the coffee shop or somewhere else, you know, because a burglar came in one night through a window, a bathroom tiny window. I don't know how he did it. He must be one of those people who can contort their body. But he got through burglar bars, which I suppose we can't really call them that anymore. But this man got in the house and took everything. And, you know, he took everything. But literally, he did it just by picking up my handbag and stuffing it full of digital, you know, mobile devices. Thousands of rands worth of mobile devices and my information and work. And yeah, basically, that was something that was harrowing. It was violent. It was traumatizing. I was working really hard. I was full steam, and it just felt like I was in midair and my knees were cut off, and I landed on my face with a great big thud. The economy was slow. I was not paying any attention to that. I was just focused, you know, on my impact and my work and my passion. And this just came out of left field for me. I had, you know, sometimes I talk about the fact that I am quite intuitive and sometimes have clairaudient experiences before things happen. And sometimes I'm not even sure what they are. And if the message is insistent enough, I will share it with family and try and, you know, cobble together what it means. So I had those dreams and that upset sense. And a week before the burglary, I hovered at that window that he got in and escaped through as well. I hovered around it, and it was midsummer, super hot. And I thought, fuck it, I'm not going to be scared in my own home. I'm leaving the window open. I'm hot. My son gets hot in the evening because he still loves to crawl into bed. And I left the window open that whole week. You know, it's so easy to say, yeah, well, you should listen to your intuition. That's what it's there for, right, Miss Coach? But I didn't, you know, I overrode it with logic. Some of the things that I'm suggesting are not going to be logical, but there's going to be a part of you that says, yes, yes, yes. I implore you to listen to that part of you. Anyway, so the burglary happened. Unfortunately, my husband woke up while this man was going through the rest of the house. He'd obviously taken stuff right next to me where I was asleep. Where my phone was, you know, how you put your phone on the bedside table when you go to bed. He was right there. I didn't pick up a thing. I actually heard a tiny noise, but I thought it was a mouse, because we had had noises that I and my husband thought were a mouse 4 weeks before the burglary. Which, interestingly enough, I just realized actually stopped after the burglary. Fascinating. Anyway, so, I could cry. My husband ended up in a hospital because of the fight that broke out between him and this man when he discovered him in the living room, you know, prowling for more stuff. A massive fight. So by the time the fight happened, my child and I are in the main bedroom, not realizing that's how he got in, through our main bedroom bathroom. So we were closing at the very place he wanted to get back into for his escape, and we didn't succeed, and my husband got knocked out, I believe. We're not too sure what happened in there, because it happened in the living area. And my husband ended up in hospital for a few days with a head injury. It was horrific, you guys. Like, it was horrific. So dealing with that violence and losing my digital world and digital life and having to pick myself up required every coaching tool and skill that I had gathered in, you know, all the years since 2008 that I'd been reading and learning and being trained to do this work. And you know, for the sake of my son and my husband, I was clear that I needed to bring somebody else in who's a professional and not just take it for granted that they'll be fine because I'll coach them through, right? Because I could coach myself, but I wanted that extra. So I brought a psychologist in, a child psychologist, worked with my son. And as she left, the first day that she came, my garden was a mess, right? My garden hadn't come back. And it's not connected, like, it's not the same person. The garden was a mess. And as she left the gate of the house, she said, you know, you could, you know, just to bring a semblance of stability, you could bring... Could you bring yourself to do some of the gardening yourself? Work on the garden, work on your garden. You've got a gorgeous space. Just pour yourself into it. And I kind of was like, yeah, you know, I've got, you know, yeah, okay, thank you very much, goodbye. Oh gosh, you know, when you're traumatized and tired and worried and freaked out and you feel like I couldn't even go to why me, because, you know, that's not my frame of reference anymore anyway, as a human being. I just couldn't, like, I felt attacked. Yet there was a part of me that said, gardening. And I hated that part of me. It felt like a betrayal. What do you mean? You know, like, gardening? What? Don't judge me. My garden is a mess. Don't judge me. You don't know the full story. We've been through this harrowing thing. But there is this meta, bigger, calmer part of every single one of us that in that moment stood and said, you know, in an inaudible voice, everything is a mess and I'm upside down and we don't deserve this and it's okay. It's okay. You know? And I know this COVID thing is not the first tragedy you have come through as an African woman. I know that. So, find your gardening, because when I had forgotten about that counselor and my good sense came back to me and I actually did start gardening, and I remember one sunny, hot morning, you know, waving at my neighbors in the street who were like, "Hey, you're back. How you doing? You're doing the garden. You're out here. Are you enjoying it?" You know, I think they were so shocked that we didn't up and leave, and that I dared to now be outside unprotected doing, you know, the verge, the part of my garden that's right, you know, exposed, no security. And I had taken back my home, my body, my sense of safety. I have always been able to say, I will not be afraid in my own home. I will not be afraid in my own skin. I will not allow a burglar, who's probably just a hungry kid, to take that away from me as well. I want you to find that part of you, the true self, your essential self, that is saying the same thing to you now about this CV crisis, this tunnel that we find ourselves in across the world. And don't let it take from you your ability to make friendships, deep connections, collaborations, and don't let it take from you your sense of generosity. Don't let it take from you more than what needs to go, right? I never could replace that laptop. My husband had lapsed on the insurance that very month, which when I found that out, it now made sense to me, because I understood the fear that he had when he lapsed, because we were having some financial difficulty. Like I said earlier, the South African economy was doing some spectacular things. When he lapsed that payment, his fear, and this is not in any way blaming, but fear attracts more like it. And that's why that happened. Other than the fact that, you know, I'm not blaming myself also for not closing that window, in the same token, I'm not blaming him. The point of the story is, there is no blame, you know, and for the first time, I can say to clients that I'm coaching, you can't blame millennials, you can't blame a change in technology, you can't blame a change in a system or a process that a new boss has brought in. There's no one to blame, but you have to build your resilience and your ability to get up there, lift up your chin, and add value and create impact. The world is still abundant. There is still boundless goodness out there. And I'm here with you, and I'm telling you that our role, our opportunity, our reason for being right now is to have fun adding to the abundance and the goodness of the world. As social entrepreneurs, our role isn't about fixing the world, changing the world. Our role, hear me now, is about adding to the existing goodness by picking up our power, by knowing who we are, who we really are. Our role is bigger than this virus could ever be. You know, this actually, because viruses are tiny, microscopic, right? Almost invisible. It's bigger than the pandemic could ever be. That's how big our roles are. And when we really get how our collective consciousness is powerful and huge and bright and full of solutions and ideas and opportunity and fun, then we're going to see a new earth. Now, the idea behind gardening is not a metaphor. So don't sit in your armchair or in your car and think, oh, well, that's a nice thought experiment. No. Go out, find a patch, find a pot, find, you know, use your balcony. You can feed a family of four or five with a size of garden the size of a door lying flat, right? So you don't need a lot of space. Go out into the soil and into the earth and into the environment and into nature and actually start working with your hands, on your knees, in the fresh air, in the sunlight. And if you, for one second, think you can say you don't have enough time during this lockdown life, think again. You know, find an online book, find a YouTube channel that you like. Find somebody who can address you, who can train you, who can teach you to do, what you know, whatever it is, right? Go next door, over the fence, ask for, seedlings, ask for cuttings, ask for seeds, share seeds. You might or might not be able to get seeds at your grocery store right now during the lockdown. Explore, see what you can do, find out how resourceful you can become if you choose it. You know, I can't emphasize how much it isn't a metaphor. This is a practical applicable activity. Find the time by no more CNN, you know, round the clock. Find the time by switching off the radio. You know, if you need the information about COVID, you know, if you're planning on becoming an MD or a PhD in viruses, I get it. But if you're not, you know, switch the news off. I promise you, you'll be amazed how much time you have. And you'll be amazed at how grounded you become working with the earth, producing together with the earth something beautiful, something nourishing. I guarantee you, when that thing that you plant and nurture and look after and water flowers or produces vegetables or fruits or whatever it is, you'll be glad you took the time to do it. Sorry, you're going to hear some noise. I have a neighbor who's revving a car, potentially a car that's been sitting still during lockdown. So I hope it's not too bad on the recording. But so is life when we're recording outside of studios and at home. And that's me falling off my chair, trying to close the window. Anyway, so I'm going to try and do less and less of these kind of goof moments. But yeah, this is the nature of working from home. And I'm no longer going for perfection in these circumstances. I go for good enough. So do the same with your garden. You know, don't go and try and be a YouTube star with it, a gardening influencer with it. Just go out and see what emerges from the prospect and the process of doing something long-term that isn't digital. You know, all of us are becoming more and more digital, more and more virtual, more and more conceptual, knowledge workers. We're networking with social media rather than in person. This is something you can do with your kids, with your spouse. This is something that can get you out of the house if you're feeling cabin fever. I promise you no. This is something you can do on your own if you need something to do separately from your spouse. Whatever your situation is, gardening is a powerful, powerful medicine that's been forgotten. And the only way to remember it is to do it. And tell me your stories. Tell me what happens. Tell me the obstacles. Just like writing your list of 10 people to phone and email and offer your help. The garden is going to be a real world, 3D world way of helping you. Of grounding yourself, of keeping in contact with something that's not urgent, that's not COVID related, that's not even business related for now anyway, if this is a first time project for you. Who knows what comes from gardening a little balcony. But yeah, I'd love to hear your stories. I'd love to see your pictures of your starting point, and just throw yourself into it. Throw yourself into something that's not super academic, that's not super entrepreneurship orientated, that can be just different and fun, to remind yourself of, you know, the reason we're here on this planet actually is to have a good time and to feel good. And it might sound trite in this time when we know that there are people who are suffering and, you know, families that are losing loved ones and our elderly population has been freaked out beyond. Simple things bring simple yet powerful medicine. And I wish you peace and deep reflections as you're digging and watering and weeding and positioning and planting and pruning. You might decide to just mow the lawn, you know, instead of waiting for the garden service. Whatever your take of this exercise is, I really want to hear about it. And I also want to hear about your list of 10 and the responses and the reactions and how you grow from doing it. Hit me up, email me, send me a message on my WhatsApp. Just, you know, rather than typing it, do a voice message. I'd love to hear from you. And the number is 082-782-0508 for voice messages. And yeah, send me your ideas on who to interview for the podcast about social entrepreneurship in this new reality. And hit me up about your ideas about post-COVID interviews that you like, people you'd like to hear from, and let's get this elevation and expansion happening.